I want to ask you guys a question. When you get engaged, when you meet the girl of your dreams, what do you usually give her? All over the world, what do people give her?
Flowers.
You give flowers?
Ring.
A ring. Why do you think we give a ring? Daniel, what do you say?
It's round.
It's round?
Yeah.
We're telling you the world goes round and round. You marry me today, marry someone else tomorrow.
Circle of life.
You remember the joke? The guy comes to the engraver, he tells him, I met the girl in my dreams today. I want you to write for me, engrave for me on a pendant to Joan from Johnny with love. So the engraver was a wise man. He told him, you met her today, right? So he says, yeah. He says, it'll take me a week to engrave it. Let's just write from Johnny with love. So that's what you're telling me, it's a circle? That's the idea?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys want to think? Want to give me another answer? Why we all give rings?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what Chazal tell us. Chazal tell us, the Jewish people said to God, God, we want to be imprinted by you. They say in Shir Shirim, Simeni chachotam alibecha. Place me like a seal me into your heart. God says, no, the heart is sometimes covered and sometimes revealed. I want you to be on my arm. Hein al kafayim chakotich. The palm of our hands is always revealed. Hashem says, negdi tamid, I'm always going to remember you. When we give a ring, the reason we give a ring is because it's not like an earring that the woman who wears it never sees it. The idea of a ring is you always see it. She sees it, and everyone else sees it. The bond is something we're proud of, the connection. Hashem said to the Jewish people, I'm going to engage you. We're going to get engaged. And one of the first mitzvot we got was Shabbos. Shabbos is that sign, it's like the engagement ring. Hashem says, now we're one. We have other signs. We wear tzitzit. Hashem says, that's a sign of royalty. You're from the royal family. We have many signs. We have tefillin, that's also a sign. But Shabbos is our engagement ring. We're connecting with Hashem. We discussed in a previous class, we discussed what you guys want to accomplish in life. Now, I want to take a hypothetical situation. A guy tells you he has a job, and his job is decent, but he's always waiting for a vacation. What would you tell the guy? A lot of people spend their lives looking forward to vacation. Is that the way you guys want to live your lives? You work so that you have time off. So you spend your whole life working so that you have those 2 weeks in the summer where you can take off. What do you say, Daniel? How do I discern between you guys? Yeah, well, you could say, yeah.
I think it's a good way.
So you spend 350 days a year, you work like a dog. 14 days a year, you enjoy life. That's decent.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. What do you say, Daniel?
I say it's a bad way.
So what's better?
Enjoy every day.
Enjoy every day. Is that possible with the work?
No.
So what's practical?
Enjoy every evening.
Enjoy every evening. You guys are bachelors, right? No one married here. You're married? Okay. So being bachelors, did you ever have a situation where you were hungry and all you had was snacks? You had cake, you had cookies, that's all you had. You guys ever been in that situation?
Yeah.
Now,
you're
in Bnei Akiva. Okay, yeah. So you guys been there. What do you feel at the end of a meal of just cookies and cake?
Seriously.
Right, that's what I feel like.
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction? Yeah? You like cookies and cake?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was hoping someone would say that.
Yeah. It's a totally different feeling than after food. Because when you finish the meal, you're done.
What, with snacks?
Yeah.
The whole meal snacks. I don't know. When I eat cake, I usually feel fluff. I feel like I didn't have bread. I didn't have meat. I didn't have anything, potatoes. Nothing that's filling. Yeah, you had fluff. But there's a person that... one of my relatives always says, let's begin with dessert. It's the best part of the meal anyways. We all say dessert is the best part of the meal. There's a balance in life. And on the one hand, I think that most people would agree with Daniel. And when you guys think of careers, I think part of what you have to think about is what's going to meaning be meaningful for you in life. Meaning, if you wake up every morning to a job, like Daniel, the other Daniel said, where you're spending your whole life working for those 14 days a year where you could take off, life can be pretty miserable. A person should try to find work throughout his life, which is rewarding, which he thinks is beneficial, which is positive. He's happy to wake up to in the morning. Most people don't have that. But at the same time, I think what the other Daniel, Ivgi, said, what's your last name, Daniel?
Gunnarsson.
Okay, Gunnarsson. Okay. So what Daniel Gunnarsson said is the way I think most people practically live their lives. And what Daniel Ivgi said, as far as enjoying the nights, so there's a lot to that also. And in truth, the Rambam, Maimonides, in his Guide to the Perplexed, he says that there's a balance between vacation time and work time. And the balance that the Torah gives us is that we have Shabbos. If you think about it, a Jew who keeps Shabbos spends more than a seventh of his life on vacation. A seventh is with Shabbos. Then you have Friday afternoon. And aside from that, you also have all the Yamim Tovim, all the holidays. So we're spending a good amount of time on vacation days. But real vacation. I met with a lot of non-Jews who envy us. They say, I wish I could take a day where I don't answer phones, where I don't have to deal with all my work and all my life. I could be just with the family, just with myself, with God. Do you guys ever get lost in the woods? You guys ever go hiking?
Yes.
I would love to give you the opportunity. I did this when I used to have a day camp. To go out into the woods alone, spend a half hour with yourself. Not walking around. Sitting, just being with yourself. You know, if a person ever gets locked into a room alone, most people have a very scary time being alone with themselves. When a person has to be alone with his thoughts, he constantly has to think about other things. Because if a person starts thinking about life and who he is and what his accomplishments and failures and where he is in life, to most people that's very depressing. To most people. Now, isn't that sad? What does that mean? We spend our life trying to be what we call in Hebrew Mesiach Dat, trying to distract ourselves from being with ourselves. We're looking for distractions. So we'll turn on the laptop, we'll turn on the computer, we'll go on to Facebook, we'll tell everyone what we're doing, but we won't stop and think to ourselves, what am I doing with my life? You guys want to think about that for a minute? Misha, yeah? Where are you from, Misha? Okay. I'm just used to Misha being from Russia.
My mother's grandfather was from Russia.
Say? My son's name is Moshe. Whenever he gets me upset, I call Misha. I also call him Avigdor. Moshe had 10 names. So Moshe was named Avigdor, Yekutiel, Tuvia. He had 10 names. So I call him many names. It's part of an educational process. So I want him to know that Misha is also Moshe. So I call him Misha too. I want to go around the room and I want you each to paint a picture of what Shabbos looks like. And then I want to hear what questions you guys have. Dan, you want to begin? What do you think Shabbos looks like? And what do you think Shabbos should look like? Both.
Personally?
That's what we're talking.
For me, Shabbos is a long time in shul with a long dinner and lunch.
I'm with you. So I want to tell you firstly, Here, you guys are part of a program. But I spent a lot of time when I came to Israel searching for a shul that was up my alley. I also felt that many shuls were too long and there was a speech. And I found a minyan where I go with my son Friday night, which is the right pace for me. I also don't have patience for a long davening. I'm with you on that. But you should know there are options. So I go to a shul. I specifically choose a shul where they daven mincha late, because I'm always running late on Friday. So I catch mincha like 10 minutes before sundown. I'm always, by the time I get the garbage out, get the kids ready, I'm always running late. So I catch, they have the latest mincha. And all of Kabbalah Shabbos is singing. I personally like to learn during davening, but I like when everyone around me singing and I could sing as I'm reading. So I found the shul. It took me 3 years to find it. I went through many, many shuls. I've been a member of quite a few shuls until I finally found it. I'm telling you a story of the last 2 months. So I think you could find something that will be amenable to you, but it's important that you have something which is good for your kids also. And I like this shul also because they have a lot of kids there. Misha,
yeah.
What do you think Shabbos should look like? What does Shabbos look like, and what should it look like?
I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever right now in this program, I take the chance to give Shabbat whenever we are in the program with the Akiva, the group, or actually Shabbat. But when I'm out, I do as I always did. And I think this institution of Shabbat is a good thing. I mean, the resting part, taking day off for everything and everything. But I don't know, it doesn't work really for me. Maybe it's a lot of practice. All the prohibitions, I don't think that they give rest. On the contrary, it's a lot to think about and not doing and everything. And the question also came up when we read that we can't not ask for melacha from the Torah, it's from the Torah, right? We should keep Shabbat. Then I learned that all the melachot is things we needed to do to build the Mishkan.
1 second, I want to write down so I remember the points you're saying. Just take this paper.
The questions that we can't do is things we needed to do to build the Mishkan. And then I asked myself, so how did the Jews observe Shabbat between, like, from we got the Torah until the building of Mishkan? They shouldn't do any melachot, but they didn't know what's a melachot. So how did they do
What a beautiful question.
Yeah.
I never thought of that. That's such a good question. I'm embarrassed I never thought of that.
So,
wow.
I mean, did they just sleep? Or did they try to guess what the melacha is? Or what, I mean,
I can give you a simple answer to it.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful question. I should have thought of that. So, I never thought of it. So, wow. Good question. Let's just review the points you made. You said it's difficult to keep when you're out of a program. You said that the prohibitions seem to be counterproductive if our point is rest.
For example, all the davening. I mean, you have to eat a long dinner Friday night and sing and everything, and that's nice. But then you are going to be tired when you wake up to Shabbat. And
but that's not prohibition.
No, but it's you have to go to Shabbat. It's something you have to do. If you are going to live,
okay, but there are 9:30 minyanim. I don't know, maybe you guys don't have that in Sweden, but in America they have that. Minyanim that start at 8:30 and 9 and 9:30. In my neighborhood we have one, start at 10. There are late minyanim. And I don't know, you guys here go to sleep on an average night at about 2 in the morning, right? That's the average time you guys go to sleep here? Or later? About 2, no? Give or take.
Summer, later, summer.
And what time do you guys get up? 8. So 2 to 8, your average is 6 hours. Friday night, you go to sleep 1. 10, 10:30, 9:30. What are you doing till 12? You're not having a meal till 12. That's not childless.
So did that meal that you sort of say when
you were
here?
Yeah,
in the summer.
Was the issue? I was here, like, one Shabbat before. We were at the
When I was in?
Yeah.
Ah. Okay, but when you'll be at your own home, you won't have a tish till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. So we wanted to give you an experience with Rabbi Witkin. That's a different thing. That's not what, that's not classical. You guys are here on a 1-year trip. We have to give you an experience. Okay, I hear. But that one thing, you said something else, and you described, you said one thing, described something else. I'm not sure what you mean. You said the prohibitions are counterproductive to rest, and then you gave me examples of things that have nothing to do with the prohibitions.
No, but this,
because it's about
even more than the prohibitions, things you have to do also puts obstacles in the way of resting.
Okay.
And the prohibitions itself. I mean, if I heard the word rest, I think of a person lying on the sofa watching TV, not like running around the house preparing for Shabbat and then settling the table and the Shabbat and being able to use any electricity and thinking about everything, like walking like, maybe if you kept all the Shabbat up in your life, you don't think about not touching anything, like,
100%. I'm with you 100%.
For the untrained person, it's a lot of
100%. We'll talk about it. We'll get back there. I want to go around. We'll try to talk about that too. Yeah, Adam. Wait. You left one thing out. How do you think Shabbos should look like?
It should be a.
I'm listening.
The whole idea of Shabbat is that God created the world in 6 days and on the 7 days rested. We don't know what that means, that he was resting. Anyway, we should be resting. That's the point.
Okay. The Seder. Adam.
How I see Shabbos. My Shabbos, I see it very similar to my Shabbos. And therefore I just feel it's too complicated, and it's not, and especially I've never felt that the opposite of it to me very much. I don't feel the connection to it, whereas Shabbos is a day of nothing, I see it, that's basically what you do. Especially on Shabbos, since it's so long, like so many extra parts, that I, even though I know what they are, I don't really feel a connection to them. So it's just like not redundant. Yeah, it's like I don't feel. I'd rather do other things, but what I would like. Like Shabbos to be, it's like a day of doing things at like your own pace, things that you like, need to do if you think of it personally otherwise. Like, I wouldn't mind like studying, or like when you have time to learn, and learn.
Okay. Give me 60 seconds because my wife just called the office phone. She needs to know if we're here Shabbos or we need to buy food for Shabbos. So 60 seconds, I'm just going to find out if we're here Shabbos or not.
I don't know if I'm here with you guys.
Don't work it out then. That's what I think. You know what, Benji? Okay, yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys. Would you guys want us to be together this Shabbos? I thought I'd leave it for a later Shabbos, but if you guys think there's what to gain, you guys have no idea. Well, so, you let me know. You guys are here. The question is, am I here? I don't live here.
Oh.
I come here if there's... Let's see. So basically, the point you guys are making is the prohibitions are very tough. The davening, you're not connected to. And so, what's Shabbos all about? If Shabbos is a day of rest, let me stay in bed. Let me watch TV. But the way Shabbos is right now, you're not getting that much out of it. Right? Yeah, fair enough. I'd love to give you an answer. I don't think we'll get to it now. We'll talk about it. There are a few basic answers to it. In a nutshell, in 60 seconds, just because that's where we derive it from doesn't mean that's where we know it from. All of the Torah was given orally before it was given written. So the fact that it was, they didn't have it written, so there are a lot of things that were written. The whole Parsha of Tefillin wasn't written until the end of the 40 years in the desert, and the commandment to don Tefillin was before we even left Egypt. So you have a lot of things that way, that chronologically. Yes, but there's more to be said. Yes, but again, there's a lot more to discuss. We derive it from there. That's where the Torah teaches us that. That doesn't mean that's where they derive it from. That's in a nutshell. Anything else, Adam? Okay. We'll get to what you guys are saying. Daniel? We didn't forget, Yali. We'll go back. Yeah.
Is it about what we did do on Shabbat, but is it here on the program, or what we usually do?
Both.
Okay, well, for me, Shabbat is... I like the Friday service and the evening with my family and having a lot of food and eating for several hours, spending time with the family. And then after the food and after praying for the food, and take time for what you want to do. And what I want Shabbos to be is that thing, taking time for stuff you don't always have time to do.
That's what you think Shabbos should be?
Yeah, but not like working or anything, because you work all the other days. So not forbidden to work for studies.
Okay. Simon.
Shabbat for me is mostly, I would say, the Friday night thing. Be together the whole family. None of them are working. Having dinner, either with friends or just the family alone. And then for me, and it's like wine, candles, challah, white, like. But this Saturday is, I do rest on Saturdays, but for me this Saturday is the same as the Sunday, because on Sunday the people that work is doing as well. So both Saturday and Sunday are days where I spend time with my family that I don't see that much otherwise, because sometimes my father comes home very late or my mother is like that. So for me, it's mostly spend time with family and friends because we don't have school. But then I would say that Saturday and Sunday are sort of the same from my perspective. And not that much davening. I really like to sing the songs, like around. But we don't have the songs that we are singing here. We don't sing at home, so that's really nice. And I think, like, I was a few months ago, I was in Yerushalayim in the synagogue with a friend of mine, and they sang a lot. They sang through the entire service, and it was really, really nice. So I like the singing part, but I'm not, like, sort of practiced, or I'm not, like, raised with davening that much. So, like, that's not really my kind of thing. But singing through it always really nice. So, yeah. And what Shabbos should be is, don't know. I guess the Shabbos should be like you go to the city, like you go to Shul Friday, you go to Shul on Saturday. I understand that that's the way that people do it, or like at least that's the way it should be. But I don't think, because I've done it a few times in certain matters, and I don't really think that that's something I enjoy as much as others things.
Yuda, we're listening. I'll tell them what I think Shabbos is and what I think Shabbos should be. What do you think?
Shabbat is really time of Shabbos and time of rest, when you could look at your whole week in a different perspective of rest, and not, it's like a break of all the things that, like, the whole week you're running and you're doing stuff, and Shabbat is just a stop, a total stop, and looking at things in a different way. It should be, it should have, I think, much more meaningful than just other day of rest, like election day was also a day of rest, and still not the same. It should have something much more peaceful, even if it doesn't mean prayer or study, but just something that gives you a different feeling about it.
Wow. Ellie.
It's not that much new. Like Friday, I'm too sure from eating with the family together. That's not something. Like this performance, there was one missing to dinner, so because of something. So this whole family together eating. I like it. Like, not sing at home, but like the songs are short. It's nice compared to other Shabbat Friday during the week, which is like reading it with friends, it's nice. And Saturday, my part is quite, I'm working. So it's, it should be, well, it should be resting. So, and as we said, you won't have like two days free in Sweden, Saturday, Sunday, and then my whole Saturday is going off to work from 9 to 5.
What are you doing Saturday? You're a
badminton trainer for younger kids.
Badminton?
Like tennis, and ball.
Yeah. So what do you do?
I'm training them.
Ah.
So it's like, yeah, 9 to 5 is the whole day with us. So it's no day of resting. So we'd be more, would like to have a day of resting. So.
You do it because you like it, or you do it to make money?
I started because I like it. To take myself, and then I asked if I wanted to work as well. I guess. So I'm not that good paid. So I'm doing it mostly for fun.
Do you guys know what you guys know what Ivy League is?
Ivy League, yeah.
Yeah? Daniel? Know what Ivy League is? Top university. Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's an Ivy League college called Cooper Union. You guys ever hear of it? Cooper Union? It's one of the top colleges of engineering in the United States. So I had a friend who went to Cooper Union. Jew. And this university, when you come, you get a full scholarship. You don't have to pay a penny. Anyone who gets accepted to the university gets a full scholarship. Mr. Cooper was a wealthy individual. He purchased a tremendous section of Manhattan. He started Cooper Square. He started a lot of different things for the public. One of the things was he started this college. He left an endowment. Whoever comes to the college, it's free. Now you understand, free college, one of the top engineering colleges, Ivy League, it's going to be very tough, very competitive. And the guys worked their head off. So this guy, he entered college, and the first year is usually the toughest year in college. Medical school, engineering, and in most fields, the first year is the toughest year. And comes Shabbos. Now, his friends, there's no college on Shabbos, but his friends spend all Shabbos doing their homework, getting ready for college. And he comes Friday night, goes to shul, comes home, has the meal. Next morning, like you guys pointed out, he's in shul. So yeah, at night, after shul and after the meal, he sat down and studied the books, but he can't write, it's Shabbos. The next day, he's preparing for his exams after the meal. He sits down, studies, he also has to rest. He's been working all week. And he had a very hard time keeping up. So his Christian friends came over to him, and they said, look, we went over to the priest, and we explained to him. We said, Father, we just entered Cooper Union. It's a very tough college. We used to be steady when we came to church. But now, college is tough, so we're going to take 4 years off. After 4 years, don't worry, we'll be back in church. We'll be back. But now, we need 4 years, we need a break. Why don't you go to the rabbi and get a break from keeping Torah, keeping Shabbos, take a break, 4 years, finish college, then come back to it. You guys know that the world is in a recession, and it seems pretty imminent that at least the United States is going to enter a depression. Right? I mean, you guys know about that. I don't know. What's the situation in Sweden now? Also bad. During the period of the Great Depression, so in the United States, legally, everyone worked Monday through Saturday. Sunday was a day off, but Monday through Saturday were work days. And a lot of people needed jobs, and they weren't easy coming. And the Jews in the United States, so many Jews, they went to work on Shabbos because they had no other way. They said, don't work, but how are we going to feed our families? So that's when they started the early minyanim. All the early minyanim used to be Shabbos morning, people would go to shul 6, 7 o'clock, finish davening, go to work. Those people's children, most of them, many of them, they don't keep anything in there. I can't judge them. I can't blame them. I'm not coming to place full. But you know, there were individuals who we can admire who used to go to work, find a job Monday, search Tuesday. At some point, they'd find the job. And the employer would tell them, okay, we work here Monday through Saturday. And then the guy on Shabbos would not show up. And he'd come again to work on Monday, and the employer would say, you're fired. I told you we work here Monday through Saturday. So the guy's working all week long, knowing that next week he's going to be at that competitive job line looking again. And it's not easy finding a job. But those people gave up their lives. They really did what they could for Shabbos. They could have said, well, I also have to feed my family. But they knew that the investment in Shabbos is the biggest investment in the family. And you're talking about times that, I don't know if you guys know what's going on today. I have relatives who are in firms, and they hire, and they tell me that today, when you want to hire someone, the common practice is you put the job on the market, and 15 minutes later you take it off. You take off the 500 applicants that applied during those 15 minutes, and then you choose one of them. You understand the numbers? In 15 minutes, they get 500 applicants. That's the situation today. I don't know. It's not easy getting a job. And in life, it's not easy keeping Shabbos. Your competitors are going to be working on Shabbos, and the world doesn't stop because Shabbos is here. If you think today you enjoy that day of rest, so you have to think something about what it took for your parents to give you that. Your parents also have jobs. They could also be making money on Shabbos. Maybe some of them do work on Shabbos. It's not easy. If today you're going to be with badminton. I also play badminton once upon a time. Well, later on in life, there are going to be millions of things that are attractive, and sometimes things that it takes a certain investment. Not easy. And yet, there's one mitzvah. There's only one mitzvah in the Torah that Hashem didn't give us off the bat. Hashem first called Moshe in and said, Moshe, matana tova yeshli bevet knazai. I have a good gift in my storage houses, the Shabbat Shema. Its name is Shabbos. Go tell the Jewish people I have a good gift to give them. Shabbos is the one mitzvah that's called a gift. It's a gift that Hashem gave us. It's something which can change our lives, our weeks, our families. It's the one mitzvah that can affect everything we do. Kashrus, you keep kashrus. It's nice. It's good. Very important. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, biblical. But it's one aspect of life. Tefillin, davening, there are many mitzvot that are local. Shabbos, if a person keeps Shabbos the way he should, then Shabbos is going to make him a different person and his whole life a different life. It is the only mitzvah that can encompass everything. It is a mitzvah that pertains to the basics of faith. When we're resting on Shabbos, we're not only resting on Shabbos. Our resting on Shabbos is in a testament. We're really giving testimony to the fact Shabbos is also called Eduk. It's testimonial. When we stop our lives on Shabbos, what we're saying is God created the world. We're not only saying I'm resting on Shabbos. When I'm saying I'm resting on Shabbos, God rested on Shabbos, which means why are we resting on Shabbos? Someone here mentioned because God rested on Shabbos. Why else do we rest on Shabbos? There's another reason. We say two reasons in Kiddush. There are two reasons written in the Ten Commandments. What are the two reasons we rest on Shabbos? Good guess, but you're right. You're 100% right. It says Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, we say in Kiddush. The Shabbos is an attestment to the basics of faith. We're giving testimonial to the fact that God created the world, giving testimonial to the fact that God took us out of Egypt and we used to work like slaves. Now we're no longer slaves. We control time. Most of the world is a prisoner of time. And now we've reached a point where we're prisoners of nanoseconds. When the watching developed, when everyone started having watches, so people became prisoners of time down to the minute. When the digital watch developed, so people became prisoners of time down to the second. And now that computers have developed, we are prisoners of time down to the nanosecond. We look at time as we are accurate today. Your computer comes, you don't even know it. Your computer is aligned with the internet, with the digital clocks, with the atomic clocks of the government. Take any version of Windows, you have like 30 options which atomic clock your clock should be aligned to. Everything in life has to be just so, but life is not just so. One of the concepts of Pesach and Shabbos and of being a Jew is that we control time. Time doesn't control us. The capacity of a person who knows he might not have a job tomorrow because he's going to keep Shabbos and to take control. You know what self-control that takes? You guys don't yet know the weight of feeding children, of having a family that's reliant on you for parnasa. But a person stops and says, God said I rest today, I rest today. It's not a question of it's fun to rest. Everyone here was discussing the fun aspects of Shabbos. It's a gift from Hashem. It is fun. But we also have to remember, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Hashem gave us a mitzvah, and Hashem gave us a gift in that mitzvah, but it's also a connection. Wait a second, that's the sign, we're connected. Hashem said, that's the sign, when you keep Shabbos, you're giving testimony, I created the world. Now, Shabbos has two aspects. It has the lo ta'aseh and na'aseh, the prohibitions and the positive commandments. And they correspond to two different concepts in Shabbos. Shabbos is the day God rested. Shabbos is also a commemoration of the fact that God took us out of Egypt. When Hashem tells us don't do work, the lack of work is commemorating Egypt. When Hashem says make it a special day where you do Kiddush, you light Shabbos candles, you have special meals, you're with the family and pray and go to shul and get together with the community, that's a commemoration of creation. The two aspects of Shabbos are divided really in the aspects of our fulfillment of Shabbos. So when everyone's resting, so then we're fulfilling the commemoration of creation, that God created rest on Shabbos. When everyone is theoretically ceasing from all the prohibitions, we don't light a fire, we don't deal with our computers and things like that, then we are commemorating that we left Egypt. Now I want you to think for a second. Are you really free men? People ask me, why don't you have a cell phone? I used to have a cell phone. I don't have a cell phone anymore. I get emails, I get over 100 emails a day. Questions from the guys. You guys know I have a website, we put on Shurim. People listen, they send emails. And I have a relationship with you guys, those of you who will want. You can stay in touch after you go back to Sweden. I work with Madrachim in all kinds of countries, and I'll be happy to be in touch with you guys. Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of friends on the internet. But when I had a cell phone, so every minute I have to answer. People have questions, and people want to ask. People are dating, and people are in halacha, and people in observance. And Baruch Hashem, there are thousands of people in the world, millions of people, but I'm in touch with thousands. I didn't have a 3 minute, so I said, I don't have a cell phone anymore. I don't. I can't. Bad enough, every time I go online, I have at least 15 emails waiting. I sometimes finish answering emails at 2 in the morning. When I get up at 6, I already have another 15, 20 emails waiting, because around the world, it's not midnight. I mean, there are people up around the world. Sometimes I feel like I'm a slave to this machine. Ask yourselves, are you really free men if every minute you have to go back and check your emails? Today, people have to have their emails on their BlackBerry. So every minute I have to know who wants to talk to me. Am I a free man? You talk to someone and his cell phone rings. He says, I'm sorry, I got to answer the cell phone. Wait a second, why do you have to answer the cell phone? I'm talking to you. Why is the person calling who you don't know who he is and what he wants? Why is he more important than our conversation? Are we really free men? When we're bound to seeing who's the latest, what's the latest post on Facebook and MySpace, and I have to see the latest newsflash, am I a free man? Or am I bound to the concepts of the Western world? When I shut my TV, and I shut my computer, and I shut my cell phone, and I shut the internet on Shabbos, that's when I start being a free man. So long as I'm bound, I have to see what's going on. We call that being free. If I don't know the latest show on Seinfeld, if I don't know the latest line, you guys have Seinfeld, I was told, in Sweden, right? Is it a hit like in America? In America, if you don't know what happened on Seinfeld last night, you're not in. You just don't know what's going on in the world. It's not like that in Sweden? Okay. So that's the way it is in America. So people are pressured. They have to record it. If they're not home, they have to see the latest Seinfeld, because otherwise tomorrow at the job, people are going to throw lines. They won't know them. They're not in. Are they free men? We have to deal with all the questions you guys raised. And we're out of time. I didn't realize we're way over time. So we just started. I don't know. You guys decide. What you have another class now?
It's a deal now.
Yeah. I think that the first concept we have to think about is that pleasure is not just physical. Meaning we're used to a world where pleasure is defined by the cake you eat, the movie you see. We're accustomed to one kind of pleasure. And Shabbos comes and teaches us that, yeah, you're supposed to eat cake, you're supposed to have time with your family, you're supposed to do all the fun things in a spiritual way. It's a different type of pleasure. You know there's a special mitzvah that a couple should be together Friday night? So think about it. If we take, it's like taking cake every day. If you eat cake all the time, you won't like it anymore. Shabbos makes things special. And part of the concept of things being special on Shabbos is the preparation. I'll give you an example. You can make anything special. The truth is, if you want to make something special, you could make it special. They sell these bars of marzipan covered with chocolate. So I told the kids if they'll get ready for bed quickly Friday night, we have a special Shabbos treat for them. So they got ready quickly. So I said, well, I'm going to give them a bar of marzipan. I'm not going to do that. I took the bar, I sliced it as thinly as I possibly could, a little slither. I said, look, I'm going to give you a treat, but it's not big. It's very, very small. But I'm telling you, it's very, very special. Take it into your mouth, think about it, enjoy every second it's going to melt. A little slither, when they weren't looking, I went to the kitchen. They didn't know I bought a huge bar. I cut the smallest I could cut with the knife, the thinnest slither I could cut for each kid. And then I gave each one that piece. And they sat there and they said it was amazing. They were so excited. That little slither, wow! Abba, that was the greatest treat. It was worth getting ready quickly for bed. They went to sleep, smiles from ear to ear. What would have happened had I given them the bar? Okay, it's a nice bar of chocolate. They ate it. They would have enjoyed it less than the slither, if you think about it. Much less. There's a certain balance in life, but there's also the capacity Hashem gave us for making things special. And part of the specialness of Shabbos is in the preparation. I have a friend, Rabbi Nassen Siegel. He's a Rebbe in Beit Shemesh. I was thinking, talk to Neri, maybe we should bring him here for Shabbos. He walks in Sunday morning. He gives me a Shalom Aleichem. Let me show you how it goes. Shabbos. Shabbos. And I'm like, this is Sunday morning. And I always ask myself, is he still coming off of last week's Shabbos? Or is he already next week's Shabbos? Where is he? But he walks in on Sunday morning and it's the Shabbos. If we start, like the halacha says, we start preparing special things. You have something you like, there's a special mitzvah, take it and save it for Shabbos. If we start preparing on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for Shabbos, we have a different Shabbos. When we prepare for something, it's different. I want you guys to think, because Shabbos is a time when Hashem says, I'm coming to you. We're together, Shabbos. Shabbos is, so to speak, every day has its match. Shabbos' match is the Jewish people and Hashem. Hashem says, that's the match of Shabbos. You guys want, Hashem says, Shabbos, your match is humanity. I've made you a match for humanity. And Hashem comes down to us. You said you never felt prayer. I want to suggest one thing. Take a moment on Shabbos. When you have a song that's moving, when you're in your own world, you're not talking to your friends, take 5 seconds. That's all. 5 seconds and communicate with your Creator. Whatever you want. 5 seconds.
I do that instead of praying.
Fine. I'm saying 5 seconds. Not more than that. Everything else, do what you want. They say you have to be here. Be here. I'm not, I don't run the program here. I can't get involved in it. Nothing? Still nothing?
The prayer, the institutionalized prayer, gives me...
Oh, the institutionalized prayer we have to talk about, because the institutionalized prayer was composed by prophets. The reason it had to be composed by prophets, and the reason we have institutionalized prayer, so the reason we need it is because most people can't compose their own prayer. People don't know how to verbalize what they need. People don't know what's important in life. And the way it was composed is that each word has a multitude of meanings. And in every situation in your life, if you only think about what you're saying, the Shemona Esrei will address what you need. It was composed by prophets because it was composed of words that can correspond to every human being in every situation in his life. There's never a situation where you don't have within the Shemona Esrei words that reflect your situation. You specifically. That's why it had to be composed by prophets. And that's why it was also... Yeah?
In the, like... This is the case, like, in the generalization of it, you lose the connection if you're not, if you don't know exactly which part of this general meaning, like that applies to everyone, if you don't know exactly which part applies to you, if you don't have that deep knowledge, then it's not going to, it doesn't talk to you, so you don't connect to it.
So can I make another suggestion? During the time that you're not with the prayer, take an art scroll and understand. When you start understanding, then you'll also see where it reflects your life. But take that time. Don't waste it daydreaming. Read. I believe that a person, every person, not only you. What do you think? All the guys standing here connect to God every minute they're standing. They could wear their tail, they could wear their towels, they could chuckle all day long. Most people, if they have a minute within their prayer that they really recognize they're standing opposite God, it's good. That's most people. Most people can go 3 times a day daven. They do it. They know what's supposed to be. But they don't connect. I'm talking, you're 100% right. Most people have a very difficult time really connecting within the davening. And I think the way to get around it is to stop, break the custom. Meaning, I believe that if a person takes, every day he studies one blessing, take a small section, 5 minutes worth of studying, even one sentence in prayer, and he says to himself, I will focus only on this sentence. Everything else I'll just say. So what happens is on that sentence he focuses, and then he says, okay, now I don't have to focus. And then he says to himself, I'm talking to God, I don't have to focus. So he focuses another sentence, and another sentence, and he ends up focusing a little bit more. And I think that's the way a person has to work on himself, sentence by sentence within the prayer. But choose one sentence that you understand, study it, understand what the words mean. And then you work off of that. And I would say also pray in English. You don't understand the Hebrew, say it in English. But though we're just scratching the surface. There's a lot to discuss about the questions you guys raised also about the prohibitions and
Who is Abi? He's upstairs.